So Lord, may graciously help me. I would turn your prayerful attention to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 23. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 23. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 23. We've read together this morning of a very critical time in the life of Israel. Israel had been in Egyptian bondage for many years, and we read that it was 430 years on that day when they were brought out of the land of Egypt. It was a time of new beginnings for the Israelites. They had been under the yoke of Pharaoh, under the slavery of being slaves to Pharaoh for so many years. He had dictated what they did. They had to do what Pharaoh told them to do. They were his slaves, and he was not doing it for their benefit. He was doing it for his benefit, but for their ruin. And we have here, you see, the way that the Lord graciously brought Israel out of this state of bondage. The Sunday school children will remember that their text, their memory text, is found in Corinthians. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And we have really a new stage in the life of Israel set before us in this Passover. And you'll notice at the beginning of the chapter that this is spoken of in verse 2. Exodus 12 verse 2. This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. This was their calendar was reset. This was not normally the first month in the year, but this became the first month, this Abib, this April as we would call it today, this month of the year that became the beginning of months. And here we see something of when you become in Christ, you're a new creature. There's a new beginning. Old things are passed away. They were not to be any longer servants and slaves to Pharaoh. There was to be a newness of life that, as it were, came as the result of the end of this Passover occurrence. There was to be a liberation from that state of bondage. They were not to carry on serving Pharaoh, but we can think of that spiritually as serving sin, serving the lusts of the flesh and the pride of life. No, you see, there was to be a break. They were not to continue in that way. They were to be liberated. This shall be the beginning of months. There shall be a new start, as it were, when one comes to see the emptiness of the things of this life, because we read that they were crying by reason of their bondage. They came to hate their bondage. They came to cry to God to deliver them from their bondage. God raised up Moses, who was used by God to guide them, as it were, out of their bondage. But it was, you see, this Passover event, this tenth plague that was used, as it were, to break Pharaoh, to break the Egyptians, and to bring them out into liberation. But you see, the point was here, that in the picture they were all, that there was judgment on Egypt. It was not judgment on the Egyptians only. It was judgment on all of Egypt. And you see, there were some plagues that, for example, the darkness. There was darkness over the land of Egypt, but there was light in the dwellings of the Israelites. But this plague, as it were, there was this specific work that the Israelites had to be involved with if there was going to be a separation between Israel and the Egyptians. And this great work was the work of the Passover, you see. There was to be this lamb. So if we go through what the Israelites were told. In verse 3 of this chapter, speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb. So there was a specific time which this lamb should be taken. Out of the goats or out of the sheep, we read. But this one had to be taken at a specific time. A lamb according to the house of their fathers. A lamb for a house. And if the household be too little for a lamb, let him and his neighbour next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. So there had to be a suitability of the size of the lamb for, you see, those who were to eat of it. It was to be a suitable, as it were, sacrifice, a suitable food and nourishment for those who were to eat it. It was not to be wasted. It was not to be, as it were, all these lambs provided and then never eaten. There was to be a suitability of this lamb for those who were going to eat it. But then in verse 5 we have your lamb. See, it started off with a lamb and then became the lamb and then your lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish. And here we see that it was not any lamb that would do. This is pointing to the Lamb of God, who John said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. Your lamb shall be without blemish. A male of the first year, in the prime, ye shall take it from the sheep or from the goats. So there was to be this unblemished lamb. No, nothing wrong with it. A meek, as it were, creature that was sinless, as it were, pointing to Christ in his righteousness. And ye shall keep it unto the 14th day of the same month. So they were to keep it with them. They were to get to know that lamb. They were to, as it were, affiliate with that lamb. It was to live with them for those 4 days. They were to, as it were, get to know this lamb as their lamb. And ye shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. This lamb, this spotless lamb, this lamb without blemish, was to be killed by divine appointment on this 14th day of the month. And this was by God's appointment. As we think of the Lamb of God, he was to be killed. His time, he had a certain time to come. And many times he said earlier in his life, my time is not yet. But then, you see, there was a time, there was a set time when by appointment, divine appointment, he was to be, as it were, killed at Calvary. But there we have, there was this time when the whole of Israel, the whole congregation of Israel shall kill this lamb in the evening, their respective lamb in each household. So this was portraying the work of Christ. You see, this lamb was to die in the place, as it were, of the firstborn in each household. Each household, we read, each household in Egypt, whether they were Egyptians or Israelites, each one was going to lose a firstborn, except there was this lamb that had been slain in that household. So in a sense, there was death in every house. Either it was the death of the a human death, as it were, of the firstborn, or it was the death of a lamb on behalf of that one. And here we see so much pointing to the need of the Lord Jesus Christ, who came to pay that price, who came to stand in our wretched place, to stand where we could never stand. So we have the Lamb are being killed at a certain appointed time. And we think of the Lord Jesus, you see. When the scribes and the Pharisees gathered together, we read at one point in the New Testament, and they had their gathering together and they decided what they would do. And the only thing they came to the conclusion was that they would not take him on the day of the feast. That was the only conclusion they came to. Well, it was appointed that he would be taken at the day of the feast, and he was. You see, God's hand overruled it all. And there was this time. Jesus died at exactly this same time, respectively, in those many, many years later. So this lamb was pointing to our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, who would be the Lamb of God. But you see, this killing of the lamb was not the end of the event. And the death of Christ, as it were, is vital and is necessary. But this was not the end of the Passover, was it? The Passover didn't end with the lamb being killed. Salvation was accomplished in the death of Christ. But salvation then needs to be applied. And that's vital. It was not enough to kill a lamb. The lamb, then, there was other things that needed to be done after the killing of this lamb, which would then, as it were, apply the death of that lamb to those in the household. And this is so vital in the preaching of the gospel. The Lord Jesus Christ came and stood in the place of sinners. He came at that appointed time. He died at Calvary. That salvation accomplished. But today, in our experiences, in our walk of faith, in our life, and if we are going to have this new beginning, if it is going to be a beginning of days with us, if there is going to be this new life, if there is going to be that all things becoming new, there needs to be an application of what took place at Calvary to us, to our hearts today. You see, so the killing was not the end. The killing was vital. The killing took place, all Israel doing it in the evening. But in verse 7 we say, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. So there needed to be an application of that blood. A sprinkling of that blood, we read later on in the chapter, that they were to use this bunch of hyssop, that they were to use this a plant that was like a sponge, as it were, and painted, as it were, on the doorposts and on the lintel. There was to be an application. You see, the blood, our blood naturally, we cannot live without our blood. If you drained any one of our blood, drained us of blood, we would die. Our body may be perfect in every other aspect, but if it has no blood, we die. And you see, so the blood was an indication of life being forfeited. So the blood of the lamb was an indication of the death of that lamb. And so when they were sprinkling the blood on the doorposts, it was an indication that a lamb had been slain. And it was an indication that, as it were, those people were trusting in what that death of the Lamb, pointing forward to Christ, would be their salvation. They're to take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein ye shall eat it. So this lamb that was selected out of the flock, it was brought in. They had to live with it for these 4 days. And at this appointed time, it was to be killed. The appointed time, as it were, it was to have the death applied to it. It was killed. And then we read, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread. So they were not to eat the flesh, we read, raw. They were to cook it, but they were not to put it in a boiling water and boil it. They were to cook it, by roasting it directly in the flame. We read they were to roast it in the fire. And here we see a picture of what took place at Calvary. The Lord Jesus, you see, was roasted, as it were, in the flame of the wrath of God against sin. He was in that place of great sufferings. He was, as it were, exposed to the wrath of God. It was to be roasted in the fire. And there was to be this unleavened bread. Now, there's much in this chapter about leavened bread. Now, leaven, it is like the yeast that we put in bread. And if you think of how you make bread, you get the dough and then you put in the yeast. And that very small amount, relative to the size of the dough, a very small amount of yeast, when it if it's living, it produces that gas, which then makes the whole of the dough swell to many times its original size. And so the yeast has such a huge effect, and it's, even though itself is so small. And that's how we use that today to make bread rise. But you see, in the Bible, yeast sometimes, it often is spoken of or typified or likened to sin. You see, a little sin, as it were, can affect the whole lump. Only a little, you say, only a small thing, but it can affect and have an effect upon the whole the dough and change its shape massively. Well, they were to have unleavened bread. In other words, they were not to use this yeast. So it would have been very solid bread. It wouldn't have had air in it, as it were, gas in it, which makes it go to a bigger size and makes it, as it were, easier to eat. But they were to have unleavened bread. And you see, the leaven is spoken on in the Bible of wickedness. There was to be a cleansing of all sin. They were not to, as it were, have sin that was to be cleansed out. With bitter herbs shall they eat it. So they were to eat this lamb with unleavened bread and bitter herbs, and they were to eat it in that way. And let none of it, and we read that it was to be not boiled, but let none of it remain, this is verse 10, until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. They were to partake of it. So there was these two aspects, wasn't there? After the death of the lamb, the blood needed to be taken in a basin, applied with this hyssop plant onto the side posts and the lintel of the door. And this was, we later read, the reason for that was so that when the angel, the avenging angel, the wrath of God, would come and see each of the houses in Egypt, there was to be a separation between the houses that he visited with vengeance and death was all to do with what was on the doorpost. And this blood that's typified the death of the lamb. So that was one of the aspects, was taking and striking the blood. But the other was that they were to eat. It was to be eaten again. There was an application. It was not enough, as it were, to have the sacrifice happen. It was not enough for the lamb to be killed. The lamb then also needed to be eaten. They needed to be nourished by it. It needed to give them strength. That they needed to be have nutrition and blessing, as it were, from this lamb that was roasted in the fire. And that is so with us today, isn't it? It's not enough to say, well, Calvary took place nearly 2,000 years ago, but we need to feed on Calvary. We need to feed on what was accomplished at Calvary. What Moses was speaking of at that Mount of Transfiguration, that which would be accomplished at Calvary, that needs to become precious to us today. Let nothing of it remain unto the morning. They were to eat of it completely. It was not to be, they were not to eat half of it. And we see here that we need all of Christ. One of our hymn writers says, in every office he sustains, in every victory he gains, in every counsel of his will, he's precious to his people still. You see, they needed all of Christ, and we need this Lamb of God. We need to feed on all the aspects, prophet, priest and king, all the aspects of Christ to his people are to be for their nourishment. They are to eat of it. They are to declare it, as it were. There needs to be a declaration of the death of Christ in this blood on the doorposts and on the lintel. And verse 11, and thus shall ye eat of it with your loins girded and your shoes on your feet. Now, this was not the way they'd eat an evening meal. They'd normally eat an evening meal, as it were, ready, as it were, to relax. But this was not to be eaten in a relaxed way. They were on a commencement of a journey. And you see, if we think of this as typifying, really, when we come to know the Lord Jesus savingly for ourselves, we're on a journey. We are travelling from the city of destruction to the city of Canaan. We're travelling out of Egypt to Canaan. We're on a journey. This is not our rest. It is polluted. They were to eat it in haste. They were as travellers through the land. They were not to settle down. It was not to be a great feast where they could relax and take it easy. They were commencing a great journey. This was a great turning point in the history of Israel. They had been these slaves for so long, but now they were going to be liberated. Now they were going to be set free. Now they were not going to be following the dictates of the slaves that they were. They were not going to be following the dictates of their taskmasters. They were going to have, as it were, God as their God, and just worship him and to serve him. They were to go in haste. They were to go away. But in verse 12 we read, "For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord." So here we see this aspect of the judgment. And we could see this in two ways, really. If we think of this as the beginning of their Christian life, in the sense as it's typified, because the Old Testament is typical of the Christian life, as it were. This being in bondage in Egypt, being liberated. Well, you see, when we come to flee to Christ, the judgment day becomes a reality to us. Maybe we could have lived and heard about these things and cared nothing for them for many years. But when the judgment day becomes a reality to us, when we realise that we must be saved, that we must either be covered with the blood of Christ, that have the merits of his death applied to us, or we shall perish. Then, that you see, that judgment day became a reality to these Egyptians and to these Israelites. But then, in another sense, we see this picture as a little, as it were, type of the end of the world. When the final day of judgment shall come, when there will be this separation between those that are in Christ and those that are outside of Christ. Those that are covered with, as it were, the blood on the doorpost, signifying the death of Christ. And not just the fact that he died, but the fact that their faith rests in the finished work of Christ. You see, it doesn't say that as the... I haven't got that far. But it's talking about he was going to execute judgment against all the land of Israel. Judgment was a coming. Of course, judgment, we know, as it were, is over us all. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death the judgment, this coming day of judgment. And as it was appointed at a certain date and time in Israel's time, so it will be for us. There is an appointed time, and there is a necessity to be found sheltering in Christ. Verse 13, "And the blood shall be for you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you." When I see the blood, nothing else. This was the vital thing he was looking for. He didn't look to see whether the family had a good family pedigree that happened to be living in that house, or whether they were well-to-do people or poor people or whatever they were. There was one criteria that the angel was looking for, and the criteria was this. Were they, was that household trusting in the finished work of Christ? Were they, had they applied the blood to the doorpost? Or were they being disobedient? You see, you could say, well, some of Israel might have said, well, I don't think we'll bother doing all these instructions of Moses, all these instructions. We won't bother with that. Well, it would have been death, wouldn't it? The Israelites would then have been left exposed to the wrath of God. But there was that obedience of faith, you see, and we have to obey God. He has said, as it were, to Israel was told to do these things, to take the lamb, to slay the lamb as a type of the Lord Jesus Christ. But then they were told to take that blood, to strike it on the doorposts, and to eat of it. There were commands. And, it would have been death had they not followed them. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon your houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Well, then coming on to our text, which is very similar to verse 13. Verse 23, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. The wrath of God was on its way, and it was going to travel through each house. It was not going to, you could say, but God would know who was the Egyptians and who was the Israelites. Yes, he would. But in this appointed time of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, it was only those who had that token of the blood on the doorposts that were safe. It was only those. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. In this verse 23, we have some picture of the activity of God to prevent the anger of God causing death in the houses of those that had blood on the doorposts. God was actively involved, you see, in stopping this angel of God from ruining and killing those in Egypt. And we have that as a picture. We think of that, the anger of God against sin, his righteous anger against sin. But it's the Lord Jesus Christ who we can shelter in. We shelter in Christ. In a sense, we shelter in God from God. We shelter in Christ, in his finished work, and in sheltering in Christ who was God, we are then free from the curse against and wrath, righteous anger of God against sin. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. There was a certainty. There was a certainty to the judgment that was coming. It was going to happen. And there was one major issue that he was looking for, and that was the application of the merits of Christ. And as we think of this as a picture of the beginnings of the Christian life, yes, there was those, first of all, those cryings out to God under the bondage of sin. But here we have a picture, as it were, of the Lord Jesus making himself precious to souls. And those souls trusting in the Lord Jesus. The putting on the blood on the doorposts is, and sprinkling it in, on the doorposts, is showing us that we should have that application, that we should apply what Christ has done. We need that applied to our souls so that we are no longer exposed to God's wrath, however many good works we may claim to think that we have. No, we need the blood. We need that cleansing of the blood of Christ upon us, that we may be set free from the bondage of sin. You see, the law condemns, but the Lord is able to take that handwriting which was against us. And the death applied to the Lamb instead of to those people in Israel. Now, we read later that a mixed multitude came out of Israel. We do not know whether there were perhaps some Egyptians that heard of what needed to be done and as it were, laid hold of the same thing. But the vital thing was, and for us today, is we need to be trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ, and we need him to come and sweetly apply the merits of Christ to us, so that we no longer are exposed, no longer standing in our own righteousness, no longer trying to make ends meet on our own, but that we are looking to what Christ has accomplished. His death, this lamb without blemish, this one that had no fault, no spot, no blemish in it, this one who could, as it were, stand in their place. And so we have, you see, in this type in the Old Testament, such a picture of redemption, such a picture of how the Lord Jesus would come and stand in the place for his people. And you see, soon after, we have the actual event told of what actually happened. The Lord did pass through Egypt. He did cause the death of all those who did not have blood on the doorpost. And every house then, we read, the people came out, obviously in great distress. They'd lost their loved ones. We read in verse 30, and Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt. And there was not a home wherein there was not one dead. It was devastation for all those, as it were, that were not sheltering in Christ. It was devastation. And yet, at the same time, it must have been such a mixture, wasn't it? This morning, which was a morning of great weeping for Pharaoh and his people, was the same morning, which was a morning of great joy for the Israelites. This was a day of liberation. This was a day when they would be set free. This was a day when they would borrow jewels from all their neighbours, and they would spoil the Egyptians. They would go out with a high hand, and they would be liberated from their slavery, for one reason, because they were looking to the Lamb. And all the Old Testament, you see, with all its, we read, without the shedding of blood is no remission. There needed to be the shedding of blood. There needed to be, that means there needed to be the death of one to pay for our death, as it were, to stand in our place. So then we have then this great event. For the Lord will pass through and smite the Egyptians. And when he seeth the blood upon the lintel, this is the only thing that he was looking for, as it were, and on the sideposts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses. He will not allow the destroyer to destroy you. He will not allow the wrath of God to be poured upon you, because it was poured upon his Son. You see, if he poured it upon you and upon his Son, then God would be unjust and God would be unfaithful. And you see here in this picture, this story, we see the need for obedience of the Israelites. They needed to obey what Moses told them to do. They needed to trust that as they went through that night, and at midnight, you think of it, if you knew that in midnight in this area, every house would have a death in it, a solemn thing. Will we be saved? Will we be free from this great judgment? Well, they needed to trust on what God had told them. What God had told them to do, the simplicity of it. They did not have to barricade the door. They did not have to make great concrete bunkers to make them safe. No, they were to do one thing. They were to strike the blood on the lintel. This was a declaration Not that we can be strong against the avenging angel by our own cleverness and our own concrete bunkers. No, there was one way to be safe, and that was to be trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ. This was the way of safety. And of course, then they were to walk in newness of life. And you see, if you look it back in verse 14, "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast unto the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it a feast by an ordinance for ever. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread." See, they were to continue, you see, at casting out the sin. They were not to live in sin. They were to live the rest of their lives, as it were, in newness of life, walking in his ways, delighting in his statutes. This was to be a great beginning. This was a great day in the life of Israel. This was to be a day when they were separated from Egyptian bondage. They were not left, as it were. They would not any more have to be servants to Pharaoh. And you see, coming back to that memory text, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new." There is that newness of life, you see, walking under a new master, liberated from sin by what Christ has done. The handwriting that was written against us, the law, you see, but condemn. Last time I was here, we were speaking of the lepers, and how that the law could do nothing but condemn the leper for his leprosy. Condemn him in the sense of saying that he should be outside the camp. He should be away from the people. And today, as we see this, the disease and the scare of, or the concern, the great concern that there is about this Ebola virus and the devastation that it does to those that catch it. And how much there is a need, as it were, for separation from those who have it, from those who don't, because of the great contamination. And so it was with leprosy in those days. But you see, the Lord was able take that law that was separating, and the law separates. The law condemns sin, and we're sinners, so we're condemned. It's as simple as that. But the law is able, the Lord is able to take that handwriting against us, to bear the punishment for it, so that we are no longer, we are cleansed, as it were. We are set free to walk in newness of life. And the law then, as it were, as we're cleansed, no longer can criticize us in that sense. Because if we're walking, as it were, in the ways of the Lord, then, as it were, we're free from that. And the law has nothing to say, because it has spent itself on the substitute. Well then, this Passover was a great event. It was something to be remembered. It was not just a one-off, you see. The actual event was a one-off, but they were then to keep it a feast for years to come. Forever, we read. They were to keep this as an ordinance forever in their generations. They were to remember. And we're to remember, you see. And we're to come back. If we're Christians, we're to remember how we became Christians. How we are where we are. We're to remember that it was the finished work of Christ that snatched us as brands from the burning, that took us out of nature's darkness, made us trust in the finished work of Christ and all that he accomplished, satisfying the law, making it honourable, standing in our place, dying on our behalf, bearing the punishment of sin. Yes, we are to look to what he has done and to realise that he has done this, and we're to remember what he has done, and to remember how we became cleansed. They were not to then go away and think that they were cleansed by their own works. They were not then to, as it were, praise themselves for their deliverance. They were to look to the Lord and to look what he accomplished, because that night, we read, was a night much to be remembered. They were to remember it. They were not to forget, and we are not to forget what the Lord has done for us. If we are in Christ, we are a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now, that does not mean that we then cease to have any trouble with sin anymore. As you know, Israel, they did at times, sadly, fall badly backwards. And yet they were never, as it were, under Pharaoh again. They were freed from that. And we need to be freed from that slavery of sin, to walk in God's ways, to purge out all the corruption that is in us and in our houses and in our lives, and to walk, as it were, in newness of life, seeking to live to God's honour and glory, seeking to focus on the finished work of Christ and all that he has accomplished. Well, may the Lord bless us then with this living faith to lay hold upon the hope set before us in the gospel, to look to the Lord Jesus, who alone can cleanse us from all sin, the one who alone can, as it were, cover us from the angel of death, the angel of eternal death, the angel of eternal destruction, as it were, the anger of God against sin. He is the only one that can interpose his precious blood. Well, may we find Christ then to be precious, that we may not, as it were, continue to live content in Egypt, continue to be unconcerned about the coming judgment. But you see, when we come in our lives to true conversion, judgment becomes real. Eternity becomes real. A need for a saviour becomes real. The need for showing that Christ is our all becomes a reality. And we flee to Christ, and he is able to set us free from the bondage of sin so that we can serve him in newness of life. Well, may the Lord add his blessing. Amen.